The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's a Brady Quinn football show. Hey, Brady.
We're back. We missed last week.
I felt bad. I miss you. We took our Super Bowl bye week before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, and look, the reality is that had a lot to do with just getting a studio, finding space. We've got things figured out now, so we're ready to go moving forward. I can't wait. I get to see you in a week, right?
I'm very excited.
It's literally my favorite time of the year. Anytime I get together with you at Super Bowl, you and the rest of the Super Friends for the Pick Six Podcast, as well as the Combine, usually that's always a good time too. And you guys watch me devour like Chick-fil-A or something.
Yeah, you do eat a lot. Yeah, you're like, we ordered Chick-fil-A, you're like, get me three chicken sandwiches. And we're all like, oh my God, what a, look at this maniac. They're like, all right, he's a former professional athlete. That's like a standard, like par for the course. I will say, and I assume this isn't like, I assume we can. So we hung out. Was the Super Bowl pre-pandemic? Super Bowl was Miami. And then was it Atlanta? Was Atlanta the one before that?
I think Atlanta was the one before. So it was Atlanta, Miami, Tampa.
Yes. Yeah. Atlanta, Miami, Tampa. I didn't even go to Tampa. Didn't go to Tampa at all. You did, 'cause you live in Florida and, you know, different rules
during COVID. Yeah. Right.
Not sure if people remember that or not. Anyway, in 2000, whatever the Atlanta Super Bowl was, okay, I believe that I saved you from being killed by an axe.
That's partially true. If my recollection is correct.
Actually, I think it may have been Breach that saved you, because I think I was like playing. I think I was on your wife's team. Doing an axe, some kind of, was it axe tossing? What were we throwing?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like some sort of hops and chops place, right? Like where it's really good to combine alcohol and axes.
But it was like, but it was like,
go wrong.
But it was like horseshoes with axes or something. Or were we playing horseshoes?
I don't know what it was. I can't imagine that place is still open or they haven't been sued at this point. But my wife threw an axe and it literally like ricocheted and somehow
nearly took your head off. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was going to be a really, really annoying problem.
If I was laying there headless, yeah, that would have been an interesting Super Bowl for you.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's not forget that I saved the Super Bowl that year, by the way. Not the actual Super Bowl, the CBS Super Bowl. Because there was a credentialing issue, so I had to go and I took off my Clark Kent glasses and went and put on my Superman cape.
Can we touch on that now? Why are you wearing glasses? You usually don't wear glasses. You look like a computer programmer right now. Lately, you've been dressing up as like Kyle Porter.
I've been doing my best to honor Jim Nantz.
You've looked so much like Kyle Porter lately.
Kyle can wear a vest on HQ. Why can't I?
But it's the golf polo with the vest, which, by the way, okay, life hack for all the guys out there who like to skip out in golf and not have their significant other or wife find out about it. Here's what you do. you just constantly wear golf attire because it looks professional. Like you can get away with that casual business professional look, but then you also just always wear it. So you can get an emergency nine in or go out and play and say you're out at the office, whatever the case is. Always, always, always wear golf attire. No one will know.
I'm actually breaking my rule. I mean, I guess technically I can play golf in this because it's like a short sleeve polo.
No, you can't.
No. I would never do it. I mean, technically you could tuck it in and go play.
No, not technically. If you play in that, you get smashed. Yep. The head pro at that club will smack you.
I wouldn't show up to a club, right? I could go play like public course.
You take those glasses off and you change your shirt.
My rule, yeah. And I would put on pants instead of whatever I'm wearing. I'm just kidding, wearing pants.
TMI, man. TMI.
What?
They're joggers. Big joggers guy.
Isn't that allowed now on the PGA Tour?
I don't know about that.
I'm starting to see that.
Yeah, I think so. Because like Eric Van Rooyen and who's the other guy who's like just flashing his ankles and people are so mad at him?
Too risque. Look out for those ankles.
I know. Anyway, my general rule of thumb for the last like 2 or 3 years has just been to dress like you're saying. Like if for some reason somebody comes up to me and says, "Hey, man, you want to play golf?" I'm like, "Sure, I'm dressed. Clubs are in the car. Let's go." So I'm just dressing as if I could play golf, or you know, like that's just how I'm dressing for the rest of my life.
Right.
But I'm breaking that rule right now. You can play golf in your hoodie tee thing.
No, you can't play golf in this. This isn't the proper golf attire. This is like if you want to go to the driving range, if you want to like you know do something like put around.
Again, not at your club, Mr. Quinn.
Yeah.
How come you never take me to a club?
You never come down and visit anymore.
I don't. That's true. Okay. I'm gonna make some changes in my life, Brady. I'm coming to see you more often.
I can't wait. I mean, we really should be doing this in person.
We really should.
Yeah.
I'm sure that CBS would totally let us fly down, totally let me fly down for the Brady Quinn football show.
Yeah, flights are super cheap. Yeah, no big deal.
Actually, they are cheap, right? Yeah, I don't fly anywhere. Anyway, any more life hacks?
That's pretty much it for right now.
Who's your boy with the Christmas life hack?
My Christmas life. Oh, my buddy Nick. Yeah, that was the best.
That was
the best advice I've gotten in a while.
Men are going to turn in just for Brady life hacks.
Yeah.
Brady life hack, the t-shirt hoodie. I like that you
I've become like a big like long sleeve shirt hoodie guy. Like I don't know why, just it's comfortable. You can work out in it, you can wear it casually, you know.
Now all right, we should probably get talking to football because you have to do some picks with Pete and I've got to go fix some lady's computer.
Because you're a computer programmer now. What is with the glasses? What happened? Do you wear contacts? Is this new?
No, actually I have 20/20 vision.
Okay,
so and the only member of my what?
Those are purely aesthetic, like they actually have no function.
These are the blue light.
Blue
glasses.
Light, yeah.
I'm only wearing them because we had time. I was like had time to kill before you showed up, and I was like, I'm gonna put on glasses and see if Brady says anything.
Do you think that makes a difference?
No, hell no.
Maybe it's complete placebo effect, but I do think there's something too. I've got a pair at home. I read like in front of the computer, and I do. Yeah, what are you doing?
I don't ever wear glasses.
I don't know. I think there's something to it. I think that your eyes feel better when you're looking at a screen all day after you wear those.
That's fair.
It's like a cooling effect, you know? It's a cooling effect. It's kind of like dude wipes, you know? It's like a breath mint for your butt after you go poop, you know? A dude wipe.
Okay.
That's not how you look at it?
Not really using an analogy, no. I don't think.
What?
Dude wipes? We haven't covered dude wipes on our show before?
No. We've talked about... dude wipes. I'm saying that I don't know that these glasses are necessarily dude wipes for my eyes.
Well, obviously not. I mean,
maybe a breath mint for my retinas.
A breath mint.
For my retinas.
Sure.
I don't know that dude wipes are a breath mint for your butt.
How are they not?
Is it a post? Okay.
There's some that are scented. Yeah.
But is it? Okay. That's a new one. Is it only for it's like an after? Okay, you know what? We're gonna talk about something else, like football.
How are you not capable of asking this question? It's when you go number two, you know,
after
you're
going to toilet paper,
you use that as like dude wipes. Yeah.
Okay. I got it.
It probably gives you one freebie. Like if one sneaks out, you know, you have the toot, probably gives you one freebie where it doesn't smell as bad. The next one's going to smell bad though.
Where do you stand on bidets?
Huge bidet guy. Yeah. I think you have to. I mean, it seems like actually archaic if you don't use a bidet.
It really is archaic if you don't use a bidet.
If you got a baby and you're using wet wipes, you're like, why wouldn't you keep using the wet wipes when you get older?
The rest of your life.
It doesn't make any sense.
It is the stupidest thing we do as a human species.
Yeah. It's like, no, we're going to use toilet paper. It's actually cheaper and not as well held together.
And like, I mean, not, you know, I mean, the wipes are not necessarily great for the environment and the general plumbing of the, you know.
Yeah. Well, to me, that's a plumbing issue. We got to figure out the plumbing.
That's right. Right. Exactly.
The wipes need to stay.
Why did the founding fathers of plumbing, of like industrial plumbing, decide that, I know, let's just use paper to wipe our butts?
Yeah. Anyway.
So, speaking of archaic people, Tom Brady retired.
Tom Brady retired. It's kind of sad.
This is a good one. And this is, I don't think that this is like a, you, this is a Tom Brady comment, not a you comment. I think it's a good question. If you had to pick for Powerlifter USA, okay. That's a great profile. Better question than profile picture, but whatever. Which of Tom Brady's Hall of Fame careers would Brady Quinn like for his own? As in, if you split, I think he's got three.
Yeah, people have done it where he's got three, right? But so he won three early, he won one under the middle, and then he won three late.
Yep. The middle has that, the middle is out, I think, because you're basically just Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers at that point, which is, don't get me wrong, it's awesome.
Which is a Hall of Fame career.
I know, but I mean, everyone's right, but you're in the Hall of Fame no matter what with all three of them. So you're going to take
one. I think I'd go with the early ones, and in part because he probably had more fun. Like the photos of Tom Brady back then, he was not eating avocado ice cream.
Terrible haircut. He was getting drunk.
Yeah, he was like drinking, having a little more fun.
Yeah.
Plus, he was younger. Like he didn't have,
he didn't have all that jaw reconstruction surgery.
Well, okay, that's your opinion, not mine. But I'm just saying, I think at that point in time in your life, you could have really reaped some benefits and rewards from all that success. Whereas, not saying you can as you get older in the back end, which I'm sure is incredibly gratifying, and be able to share with your family, but you should still share with your parents. Like, your kids will remember to some degree, but they're not – like, he played long enough where his kids are going to remember everything, right? Like, they're old enough to see it, remember all that stuff.
He was 24, 26, and 27, I believe, for his first
– Yeah, that's season. Like the wheel.
No, excuse me, 24, like, 27, 28? Whatever, you get the point.
Yeah, he's in his mid-late 20s. Like, he's perfect time.
Yeah, like before the Tuck Rule game.
That's what you want. You want that.
Yeah.
You're able to have the most fun with that.
He did multiple supermodels over that first Hall of Fame stretch.
Well, I think he's maybe back to that.
What's that?
What?
Oh, well, I mean, are you now? So, like, I sometimes will follow people on Instagram for, you know, for work purposes.
I don't. You don't know why I don't? I don't.
Your wife will yell at you.
No, it's because like, other people are going to see, like, I see, for example, like some guy will send us, oh, look at this picture on Instagram. So I'll go to
like that.
Will Brinson follows. Like, yeah. Will Brinson follows. I'm like,
it's dangerous.
That's not a good look for Willie, you know, following that person who happens to be an Instagram model that is Polish or Russian, you know.
Well, but it's for work because she, like, for instance, Olivia DiColpo? Is that her name?
Olivia Culpo, not DiColpo. You made her Italian, but yeah, I think she's Italian.
Olivia DiColpo.
DiColpo. It's actually just Culpo, but yeah. Olivia. Yeah, of course you have to follow her, right?
It's for work, man.
It's for work. It's research. It's the research. Right. I told you we did the background research for Christian McCaffrey when he started dating Olivia Culpo and the injuries that ensued, and we correlated that with the fact that it's probably hard to leave the house.
For instance, I have to follow Veronica Bielik?
Yes, you should. For Cliff Kingsbury.
Only, I mean, how else am I going to get Cliff Kingsbury updates? Like, where in the world is Cliff Kingsbury? I just follow her.
I don't know that I'd ask the question, how else would you? Because there's probably many other opportunities to get, like, updates.
No, he hasn't said where
he is. She's one of the sources.
I can turn on Peter Schrager's tweets, I guess. But, I mean, like.
Schrags?
Schrag bomb. This is quite the episode we got going on. Who is, what's her name again? Veronica, wait,
Bielik or whatever.
Veronik Arajic. This is the alleged
new one.
New one for Mr. Brady. Not Mr. Brady Quinn, Tom Brady. Yeah. Did you see what she posted today?
I did not because I don't follow her well.
See, exactly. What if this is an HQ segment and you had to answer this question? You'd be SOL, pal.
It probably wouldn't be considered, HQ.
Okay. I don't know if they're actually dating, but I respect the living crap out of her for her like quasi troll jobs and leaning into this. Here's her caption on today's post, which is posted like, so what time did Tom Brady tweet at like 9 8 a.m. or something like that?
8 something. Yeah.
Yeah. She posted this at like 11 a.m. So hard to retire from beach days. So enjoy them while they last. To retire? Do you who uses that in a caption unless they're trying to tell you something?
Yeah.
Just saying. So I would take Tom Brady's early career too. Plus, it's like at that point. Now, granted, the stats were not quite as much as they were.
Yeah, I mean, look, the game was at a different point. Charlie Weiss, who was his offensive coordinator, who I had as a head coach for 2 years in college, he had a different philosophy as far as what Josh McDaniels was doing, calling plays and scripting up stuff, as did Bill O'Brien, as did, whoever else you want to throw in the conversation.
The game didn't open up until the Colts complained about the Patriots' defensive holding calls.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I think – he was a much more evolved quarterback by the end, but the game evolved too. But I think early success is the more fun stuff.
Yeah. Oh my God. Imagine being like, you're just running Boston. Like okay. You just run that town. I mean, he could have gone out in Oakland the night before the Tuck Rule. I guess it was in Boston. Never mind, because it didn't snow in Oakland. He could have gone out in Boston and gotten completely obliterated the night before. I don't know why I thought the Tuck Rule game was in Oakland for a second. Gotten obliterated. And at age 26 or 24, you woke up at like 6 a.m. the next morning and felt fine.
Yeah.
An athlete at age 24,
yeah.
you're superhuman.
Yeah, you bounce back quick.
Yeah. Oh, man. Can you imagine being 24 right now?
Feels like it was just yesterday, kind of. Then it kind of doesn't. I feel like when you have kids, then it feels like that was a different lifetime. Like I was back in Notre Dame this past weekend, and I literally was like, that was a different life. Like life, a different life that I recall, but like it doesn't even feel like it was my life anymore. It's so crazy when you just have kids.
It really is. Over Thanksgiving, I was like walking down the driveway of my parents' house at the Brinson compound, and this like kid with this mullet and these like Viper shades goes walking up, and I was like, "Who the F is that?" And it was my little my cousin, I guess, Ryder. I was like, "Dude." It's like, you're free. Okay, one, why do you have a mullet? Two, and he's like, what? Ladies love it. I was like, oh, okay,
sure, man.
Yeah.
I got to have a mullet with the Vipers on.
I mean, yeah. I was like, dude, you were freaking tall. He goes, not really. I'm 17. I was like, what? You're 17? He goes, yeah. You have a 9-year-old, right? I was like, oh, my God. And it hit me. I stumbled into the house. Like my mom was like, are you drunk? What's going on? I was like, no, I'm just very discombobulated. Like Ryder just like spun my head in a million different ways. And I was like, Ryder, where are you going? He's like, up to my car. I was like, yeah. God. Yeah. It's crazy. Anywho. So Tom Brady.
Yeah, so Tom Brady retires. I mean, look,
we're really maxing out this podcast in terms of content.
Yes. I obviously had a chance to speak with him, chance to, be around him a little bit when I was younger because of the relationship with Charlie Weiss and him. And just when I first initially got into the league and, he was one of the nicer, helpful guys to kind of talk to, especially early on, not only learning the New England system, the offense, but just like, handling tough coaching, which Charlie was tough to play for. And, I was always a fan. I was a fan of his, as he first got in the league and I was coming up through high school into college. The way he played the game, the way he led, the way he competed, the grit, toughness, the composure and the poise that he showed in like the toughest moments. I mean, that was what every quarterback wanted to be. You wanted to be Tom Brady. I mean, you wanted to have that sort of career, that sort of impact on your teammates and that sort of ability to have success. And so there's a part of me that's like, man, it's awesome that we were able to I was able to live, play, against and in the same era as him. But there's another part that makes you sad because you're just looking around going, man, this is it. Like, we will never see another athlete like him again or have that sort of success. I don't think. Like, we were going over all the records he set. Was it 35 playoff wins, 48 playoff games? I mean, it's hard to just be able to play that many playoff games, let alone win 35 of them. I mean, it's incredible. It really is. So hopefully he's able to find
35 and 13 in the playoffs. Like, that's 48 starts.
It's absurd.
I mean, 48
he started in the playoffs more than I started in my entire career.
That's what I was about to look up. Like, I mean, and that's
like literally like you look at that and you just go, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
By the way, about 98% of quarterbacks probably fall in that category. Besides the 2% that
it's not a you thing. It's a
I'm saying like he. So anyway, I've always had the utmost respect for him. To me, he's the greatest of all time. Like, I know some people try to debate, you know, oh, was he the most talented? I'm like, dude, why are we even talking about that? Like, what does it matter? That's not the point. The most talented guy doesn't always win. It's the guy who's ultimately able to execute. Like,
yeah.
I think there's two things that stand out to me that he did better than anyone else, or he was willing to do more so than anyone else. The first thing is he was able to do the ordinary things extraordinarily well. He did the simple things, playing the position, never got bored to him. He just constantly made the right decision all the time. And let other people make the mistake and let other people try to force something or do something outside of their ability. And I think the other thing is he made football his life. I mean, he really did sacrifice everything for his dedication to the game of football. And that is more so like, it's not the season. Everyone sacrifices during the season. Everyone works hard during the season. You're there early. You stay late. You know, sometimes you sleep at the facility. Like, everyone does this stuff. It's the off season. That's the difference, is he made it a priority where he was, his diet, his training, his sleep, his lifestyle, it was all geared towards that next season. And there's just no one else who was going to be able to sacrifice their entire life to be able to prepare every single year for that. And he did. That's why he played so long. That's why he played at such a high level for so long. I mean, I know this year wasn't, you know, the best year for them, but they still won their division. He threw as much as he's ever thrown in his career at 45 flipping years old. It's phenomenal. It truly is incredible.
Well, and you know, you talk about the early, you know, we were talking about like which Hall of Fame career would you want of his three, right? Like, the third one doesn't happen if he isn't so obsessed with football and so obsessed with doing everything, like winning at any cost, that he was like, okay, I'm sure it happened, you know, because he had the 2007 season. They go undefeated. Monster, like, all-time, you know, passing statistics, at least for that era until, you know, the modern era and expanded games and all that. And then the next year he tears his ACL, like, first time he's ever been injured. And I think that's the point where he's like, okay, I'm older now. I have to figure out, I want to play till I'm 40. Which, by the way, we all laughed at when he first said it. Now he's 45, throwing 500 passes. But he completely changed. And, you know, all the Alex Guerrero pliability stuff, like, you know, it's a joke because he's, like, getting massaged like crazy on the thing. But, like he changed what he ate. He changed how he ate. He created a brand out of it. He changed, like, he won't eat tomatoes or mushrooms. Like, and he changed his, and you see this too with a lot of golfers, right? He was ahead of the curve. Just a pound, not pumping iron. He's, like, doing pliability exercises because he realized that it wasn't so much muscle as it was core and like flexibility to be able to extend his career.
Right.
That's,
yeah. You know, I mean, look, there's a bunch of different ways to train and all that. You know, Alex and him had a great plan. It worked for him. You know, I think you can make the case that he probably, you know, you could do a little more strength training. You could do a little bit more of the other stuff too, just to be able to keep that, you know, ability. I think this year was where you kind of started to see his body kind of decline a little bit, just the way he moved in the pocket.
True meathead for me.
Well, no, it's not like my opinion. It's just sport. It's how you train. It's how you get stronger and faster, or at least maintain some of that. So it is what it is. Like,
all right. I'll refrain from giving out any sort of training.
Well, you brought up golf. I mean, did Bryson DeChambeau not say, all right, I'm going to try to hit the ball 400 yards. What am I going to do? He didn't do pliability training. He did heavy lifting for a while.
His shoulder separated. He swung too hard.
Well, yeah, that wasn't going to last, but like, if that was his goal, he was able to accomplish it. He was smoking drives.
God, that drive he hit at the API where he's like, he like lines up like a
People are like, where are you? Like, dude, where are you aiming?
It's 300. It's like 425 yards. He's like, and just meets it. And he's like jump, doing the Phil Mickelson jump. All right, let's take a break. For the show, and then we'll
we'll come back and we'll tease. What do you got for the tease, huh?
We'll talk about I don't know what the 49ers are gonna do at quarterback after the break. Ooh. Next.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
So Brock Purdy, torn UCL, allegedly, severed UCL, heavily sprained, severed. Sprain is a tear. He basically has to have Tommy John surgery. He's going to be out 6 months, maybe throwing in like, I don't know, 303 months or something like that. It's a pretty big deal, I think. By the way, shout out Brock Purdy. Talk about a tough SOB for going back out there. Like, yeah, everybody saw him mouth to Kyle Shanahan, like, I don't think I can go. And it's like, yeah, I mean, when your UCL is torn.
Oh, you've torn yours before.
Oh God, here we go.
Well, no, you're acting like you had.
Have you torn your UCL?
No, I haven't torn my UCL.
Injury on the planet.
It's a very uncommon injury for a football player. Obviously, this one was through contact. It wasn't through the actual throwing motion. So it's way more typical in pitchers, which you see. Yep. They come back stronger from it, able to throw harder from it. If he gets the reconstruction, it's going to be a year. It's going to take him a long time. Now, I don't know that that's been confirmed. I know he's looking for a second opinion, but it's interesting because he was able to play well enough to a point that I think really put him in consideration for the starter next year. But now you look at it and go, okay, if he's out 6 months, like we can't even really have a quarterback competition.
No.
So where does this put his career in San Francisco or just his career in general? And where does Trey Lance fall into all this? I mean,
Tom Brady's now, in theory,
he's out. So what, Jimmy Garoppolo, you signed back? I mean, do they look to the draft?
Trade for Aaron Rodgers?
You could look to trade for Rodgers. What assets do you have to trade? You have to give potentially some players.
And the Packers don't want to trade him in the NFC.
Right. So yeah, there's a lot of things right now that you're looking at going, I don't know. I'm not sure where this train's going. Now, the one thing you can count on is John Lynch does a great job building the roster. Kyle Shanahan's a offensive guru.
Yep.
But now you lost your defensive coordinator too, and D'Amico Ryans. Maybe get Vic Fangio, which would be great.
He's with the Dolphins.
So he officially signed with the Dolphins.
I'm pretty sure. I kind of missed
that. Wasn't finalized, I don't think. I think there was still a bidding war going on last time I checked.
Oh, really? Okay. All right.
I mean, unless this was announced.
No. I had like missed it. It like happened on Saturday night or something like that where somebody reported he was going to the Dolphins. Let me double check.
Yeah. So they've kind of backed off that now. And now it looks like San Francisco's potentially involved too.
Maybe Carolina might get involved too, I think.
Who's that?
Oh. He's in play for the Broncos job? Okay. So he's just, this is why.
Well, so Peyton, that's obviously. Ridiculous. Peyton obviously took the job, which that was who he was going to bring in as his defensive coordinator. How Vic Fangio feels going back there, I don't know. I mean, that's the tough part, you know, and it's a new ownership group. Maybe that hits a little different this time, but that would be tough to be able to go back to that place after they move on from you. hire Nathaniel Hackett, and then kick him out after 1 year, not even a full year.
All right. So apparently I didn't realize this. Fangio is a consultant with the Eagles right now. So he can't, but he's obviously going to wait until the Super Bowl to decide.
The season has to end.
Yeah. But what makes that interesting is that now with the hiring cycle playing out the way it did, you have Frank Reich, who has connections with Vic Fangio from Carolina. Because Fangio was the defensive coordinator the first year in with Dom Capers in Carolina, which tells you how old that guy is, when Frank Reich was the quarterback. You have the Broncos, where I mean, he knows the building. Certainly,
he knows the roster too, which is a big piece.
Definitely, that's actually kind of interesting. Like, I mean, would he be willing to go back and work for Sean Payton? And maybe that's part of the deal. Sean Payton's like, look, I get to hire who I want to hire. I don't care if you fired him, George, because I'm going to fire you next year anyway. Maybe he goes to San Francisco. He can get a lot of money from somebody to be a defensive coordinator in the best possible spot next year.
Right. Right.
So yeah, but back to San Francisco, man. I mean. I think you got to go Trey Lance and maybe sign Jimmy and or Derek Carr.
Derek Carr's kind of the wild card to all of it, right? There's a lot of places they're going to look at potentially and talk to him about, being the guy. Maybe there's some other places too where there's a quarterback under contract that people would maybe look at, trading or trying to bring in. You mentioned Rodgers, there's Carr. I don't know. Maybe Kyler Murray's up in the air there. You got your general manager. You don't have a head coach. Is there some hesitance in the head coaching candidate taking the job because Kyler Murray's locked in this deal and they don't want him to be the guy? A lot of questions, I think, around the two vacancies in Indianapolis and Arizona. But in regards to at least San Francisco and their quarterback situation, it's kind of all on the table. I mean, Trey Lance is the one guy under contract, as is Purdy, but it sounds like he's going to be out for the year with the injury. So that leaves you right back to Jimmy G, sign him back, maybe not. Are the Dolphins, would they be involved in that mix with Mike McDaniel and the familiarity there? There's a bunch of different ways this could go. So the NFL set up to have a pretty interesting offseason. Either way, though, I think San Francisco, with what they gave up to go get Trey Lance, this is it, man. Like, this has to be his year. They gave up way too much not to at least find out this year what they have in him before they want to move on.
Yeah, I mean, it could – I mean, like, if you – you think about what you could have had with those three first-round picks.
Well, I'll tell you what Miami got out of it. They got Tyreek Hill and Bradley Chubb. So,
and Jalen Waddle.
And Waddle is who they end up drafting.
Which would work out all right. I mean, I don't think you could, like, fit those guys in that roster. You just, like, keep the first-round pick, draft Mac Jones with the Tyreek Hill pick, add Jalen Waddle and Bradley Chubb to San Francisco. But congratulations, you've won a Super Bowl, maybe two. And Brian Wilson feels correct about Mac Jones. You mentioned
vindication.
You mentioned the head coaching vacancies. Saw two get filled. What do you think about Sean Payton?
I like the fact that it is Denver where he's going to go, because I'm fascinated to see how he's going to orchestrate this offense around Russell Wilson. If anyone could fix what didn't go right last year, it'd be Sean Payton. Just from knowing Russell, when he first got in the league, and he was always kind of enamored with Drew Brees, both as a leader, as a quarterback, a shorter quarterback, how he played from the pocket. He loved watching his tape, loved watching his fundamentals, his drills. He really, just kind of, I think, naturally kind of gravitated towards Drew. And Sean obviously made Drew Brees a Hall of Fame quarterback, so I'm sure there's a similar pitch there.
Yep.
I wonder how much of the offense Sean can kind of tweak to be able to do that. You don't have a Michael Thomas there. You've got some really good receivers, though, and I think you probably figure that out. But that move is a win-now move. If you're the Denver Broncos ownership, like, you don't pay him 17 to 20 million, whatever that number is.
17? Give up. No way it's less than $20 million.
Well, that's just reportedly what it was between.
I was guessing 30.
Yeah, no, not that much. Jeez.
Okay.
Jeez. But, you look at it, the roster's built to win now, and you're going to get a guy that clearly with the draft capital you gave up, you're saying, like, we feel like we're good enough to win right now. Like, we don't need these additional, first-round draft picks, which I think they've got, is it three first-round draft picks between Russell and Sean Payton? Three ones, two twos, and then is there a third involved somewhere there?
They're getting a third back from New Orleans.
Third back. Okay.
Yeah. So they're giving up a 2024-2 and getting a 2024-3 back along with the rights to Sean Payton.
Right.
The first round pick, the 29th.
Right. But that's 3 1s, 2 2s between Russell Wilson and Sean Payton, right?
Pretty expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that's just expensive. They're just saying we can win right now with the roster the way it's currently constructed. We just need the right coach, right quarterback. We now feel like we've got that pairing together too.
And
by the way, do you feel like it's a little bit of an indictment?
Thank you guys. You're clear. Have a good day.
Like Sean Payton comes in, the ownership comes in, they bring in, you know, Sean Payton, and he's like, well, that guy didn't know what he's doing. Just wait till I get my hands on Russell. You know, it's kind of like one of those deals.
An indictment of like Hackett?
Yeah, kind of just as like an offensive mind or play caller, head coach.
I mean, I sort of thought the midseason firing was an indictment, but yeah, I agree. of course it is. Yeah, it's like.
Well, but here's the thing is you have a midseason firing, but then he immediately gets hired as an OC for another place that's having issues at the quarterback spot. Now, maybe that's an effort for the Jets to lure Aaron Rodgers, which if that works out, great. And maybe that was the whole point with the Denver. Really was interested in him. Hey, let's bring him to Denver. Maybe Aaron Rodgers will come with him. Didn't work out. Okay. Now the Jets might be trying to play the same card here. Who knows?
Apparently everybody heard that, not just us. Yeah. The comments are like, whoa, what the hell was that? A little peek behind the scenes. Yes, of course, it's a huge indictment of him. It's like, listen, you know, everyone thinks Russell is completely broken. Pete Carroll's out here prancing around, smacking his gum, giggling how he made Geno look incredible and Russ stinks. And they're like, nah, it was all Hackett. Which is sort of the way you have to lean into it if you're Broncos ownership, because you're like, we're stuck with this contract for the next.
Yeah, you can't get away from it.
Yeah, you can't be like, well, all right, we screwed up. Russ stinks. He's out of here. It's just like Kyler, right? It's like it can't be Kyler. It's got to be Cliff.
Yeah.
Because you can fire the coach and just like pay it off. You can't fire the quarterback and just like
not yet, not yet.
Well, yeah,
but there will come a time when you can, but it's not that moment now.
Yeah, that's right. What about – I thought D'Amico Ryan's great pull out of the Texans. I mean, I don't know that I want to coach the Texans, but he was an all-pro rookie of the year there.
Yeah. No, he's got history there. They have something to sell, right? Like, this is a fan base that's seen new head coach, new head coach, new head coach, past 3 years. So I think my concerns are more for D'Amico. You know, you're going to a place that, yes, is familiar to you. You've got this build-up equity because of what you did as a player. And I believe there's reportedly a 6-year deal, which is awesome. If that's the case, by the way, because now you're kind of holding Cal McNair to the fire. Like, come on, dude. Like, you just let go of Lovey, who's well-respected in the league. David Culley finally gets a shot after 1 year. Like, you didn't give anyone a chance.
After you fired Romo Crennel as like an interim, it's like, how many, you know, I mean, yeah. How many like black coaches can you fire after one season here, guy? Like, come on.
So now I think he's put them in a position where they have to commit to him. The roster's not that far from a rebuild, right? Like, you've got Damian Pierce, a running back. He's a good piece. John Metchie, when he comes back, obviously, if it is Bryce Young at quarterback, they'll be familiar. I would assume that's where they're going to go. It sounds like that. I mean, D'Amico played at Bama. Casario comes from New England, which you know how close Belichick and Saban are. So there's all, you know, the kind of back channeling, I'm sure, as far as who they'd like to go with that quarterback. And if you're D'Amico, it's good because you got cap space. You got some draft capital to be able to work with. And potentially, you know, you've got your future quarterback, or at least your ability to pick one because you're picking number 2 overall. So,
Derek Stingley, by the way, we should mention, unbelievable player.
Yeah, another player who you'd say is like a building block, a building piece. Yeah. So,
I mean, obviously Sauce Gardner kind of, you know.
Sauce stole the show, but Derek Stingley is a very good player. I think he'll be a very good player for a long time in the league. But again, building blocks in the right spots, right? Tunsil, good player. Although, how many years does he have left on his deal now?
It's not. They were talking about cutting him, I think.
Really? Because it's a little inflated? Because he actually is.
He's a little older at this point. God, do you remember how long he's
27?
Yeah, this is the final year of his deal, actually.
Yeah, wow. I thought he was going to the last year of his deal.
Yeah. No, they could have gotten out of it. They could cut him this offseason if they wanted to. I don't think they would. They have tons of cap space, and he's still 29. God, do you remember how long ago that gas mask bong draft was?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
You were playing at Notre Dame then.
Not true.
No, not true at all. I think you were doing that.
Also, interesting. Like, of all the things, when you go into draft day, like, obviously, I had a pretty long draft day. Like, I wonder if he was, like, going into it thinking, I wonder what could happen today. Like, who could draft it? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, a video of me in a gas mask comes out. I mean, that's not good.
Because he was a top five pick, guaranteed.
Yeah.
And like, he was a single lock in the top five. And it's like, you know, right before it came out on Twitter. Because it was 2013? Is that right? 2014, maybe?
Yeah.
And it's like, and then I remember like Ian Rappaport had to get up there on the stage. He was like, yeah, Rich. So a video is surfacing on the social media and on Twitter. A Laramie Tunsil appears to be wearing a gas mask with what can best be described as a bong attached to it. It's like, what? Like, I mean, like, we all knew it was happening. It's like, all I wanted to see was who's going to have to say this on television first.
Right.
Because, like, he can't just fall 15 spots and nobody explains why.
Here's the problem. This is how some behind the scenes front office scouts and folks think. They're like, did you see the lung capacity that he had, by the way? did you see, like, this guy could probably run a 4-minute mile. Like, he's probably got an iron lung. I mean, like, there was someone who, like, overanalyzed even that element of him as a player to be like, not good. But also, there's other guys who smoke weed in the NFL. They've relaxed the rules on this. Did you see the lung capacity, though? Did you see him be able to take in that bong?
I mean, like, I have never smoked.
You okay over there?
Yeah. I was
odd timing for a cough like that.
Well, it was. Could you hear the cough? I muted myself.
No, I know you muted it, but I'm letting the listeners know.
And ironic timing, right?
It was almost
like. You don't find that suspicious?
Just took a hit of a joint and you coughed a couple times after. It's almost like this is weird timing.
It was real timing. Fortunately, we're on YouTube live, so like you can go watch. And I was not ripping a doobie as the kid.
Well, for those that cannot, he also was not ripping a doobie then coughing afterwards.
We really used the cool lingo on this podcast. I mean, like,
cigarette.
Thanks, Dad. I mean, like, but seriously, like, by all accounts, a gas mask bong combo is like, I mean, that is testing your lung capacity.
That's why I'm saying this is, Will, I tell you, there's a scout, there's someone that hit their head. And they were like, plus high grid for.
Listen, Jim.
Yeah.
We're going to dock this kid for this? Are we going to be real here?
We're not overly concerned about his conditioning.
Extreme lung capacity.
Yeah.
Or ELC.
Usually the scouts just go like this. They have their hats low and all stuff. They just go.
That was me and Brady scribbling for 3 or 4 seconds there. Imagine scribbling. Oh, this show.
Is this the one that gets off the rails the most?
Yeah.
When you and I are on together? Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, everyone always makes it out like, you know, you're pretty bad pretty much with everyone else. Like, this is par for the course.
No. Because you... Oh,
so we're the worst.
Yes, we're the worst. By far.
I did not know this. Sorry, this is news to me.
No, because, well, one, you like to go off the rails with me.
Yeah,
why not? You like to take me off the rails, usually.
Yeah, two, well, Dude Wipes got you on a whole different... we talk about plumbing systems? I mean, infrastructure.
I have to close my blinds when I'm doing the show, because if I see a squirrel, I'm like yapping about the squirrel. Like, but you're like throwing squirrels at me. And like, but also like you, so like, if we do a show and it's like me and Breach, and like Breach and I are like talking about Dude Wipes and like random stuff, we'll get a note from corporate. And it's like, hey guys, stay on pace. You and I do it. Those fellas. Another great Brady Quinn show. I don't know, man.
What does that say about me?
I don't know. See, look. Definitely the worst, and we love it.
Personally, I wouldn't take this level of disrespect.
I'm not really sure what to take from this.
Also, this is a funny one too. Brady's face and Will spouts rubbish. It kills me every time. I think I probably spout more rubbish than Sim, only because like Brady's like, we'll be like, yeah, no, but I mean, it's good. I mean, I enjoy it. So
what were we talking about and how we got here? We were talking about
head coaches. All of a sudden we're talking about lung capacity of gas mask bong hits.
Can we quickly talk about this? the openings that are there. Like I kind of look at both and go, Indy, are people just like, all right, you got to deal with Jim Irsay, or is it just like Jeff Saturday's job and they feel like there's no point in.
So I think this is kind of interesting. I think, I can't remember who was saying this. I was talking with somebody about this, but like, basically if you go back and look at the last like 48 hours of the Indy coaching rumor cycle, it's like over the weekend, Jeff Saturday was like hammering media people. Like everybody's like, oh, Jeff Saturday's job. And I think it's Jeff Saturday's job to lose. But then like the last 2 days or 2-3 days, you can tell that like Chris Ballard is fighting back as aggressively. And like, he's got the entire front office is out there like fighting as hard as they can to plant like as much stuff out there to keep Jim Irsay from hiring Jeff Saturday.
I mean, I feel like it feels so dysfunctional that you have to go, okay, like even if Chris Ballard wins and I'm the head coach coming in, I know he's got power over top of me. And so that's not necessarily good for my job, you know, and maybe you have a work relationship with him. Maybe you don't. I don't know.
I wouldn't take that.
If it's Jeff Saturday, like, you know, those two are going to be butting heads. And eventually you might as well tell like Chris Ballard, which look, it's tough to get in that position to have a GM job. But I think he's done a good enough job with that roster over the years that he'd end up making his way to a general manager somewhere else too at some point.
Absolutely. So I think that this is just my opinion. I think that Jim Irsay is going to do what Jim Irsay wants to do and that he's going to hire Jeff Saturday. And to your point, I wouldn't want to take that job, because if you get hired for that job, you are just not Jeff Saturday to Jim Irsay. And everything that you do wrong is going to be something that in theory, Jeff Saturday would have done correctly.
Right.
And Jeff Saturday's probably coming in as a consultant anyway.
Right.
He's be hanging around. And if I'm Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay does what we think he's going to do and hires Jeff Saturday, I think I'm walking away.
Can I ask this question?
Yeah.
Do you think with the head coaching title, and maybe this is what's holding them up from hiring a head coach, do you think you have to like make so many appearances at Jim Irsay's band's performances? Or maybe you have to be like a minor role in the band every once in a while? Like, maybe that's part of the contract or the deal, and you're just like, I don't know if I want to do that. Which, have you seen the Jim Irsay band?
Yeah, they lean up against trees. They wear cowboy hats.
Could you do this for our YouTubers and people who are watching right now? Can you find a clip? I don't know if you can play it or even just a still shot. I just want, especially one, if you can find the one when he was at D.C., I think in front of the Washington Memorial. He was leaning up against a small tree that I don't think it was going to last much longer if he kept leaning on it, but...
So I see originally when I Google it, I see comfortably numb and the weight, which I don't know which one I'm going to be more offended by, cause I'm a big, the band guy. Billy, I don't know if we can legally play this. Oh my God. Have you seen the Jim Irsay collection?
Do you think Jim Irsay is going to come after us?
Oh my God.
I mean, we're giving him more press. Like, he should be excited about it. Like, I don't know that everyone knows Jim Irsay has a band.
Boy, he sounds like Jim Irsay, doesn't he?
He does.
Sure sound. I just need some place where I can lay my head.
John Cougar Mellencamp sound? Does he have like a slightly not as good John Cougar Mellencamp sound?
Yeah, it's really more like a gravelly. Yeah, gravelly Mellencamp.
Yeah, I mean, didn't John Cougar Mellencamp? Was he from Indiana, from Indianapolis area?
Yeah, I think so. That checks out.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, how many people have John Cougar, you know?
Do you think that Billy has ever
heard John Cougar Mellencamp? I bet he's heard like one song.
I don't think he knows who John Cougar. Hey, hey, hey. I said, hey, mister, can you tell me where a man might find a bed? Oh, why, Bill? Why, Jim?
I think I liked it. I think I liked that.
Well, can we get a couple more seconds? We're not going to get sued for this.
Yeah,
he's playing the band song anyway. So like this.
Take a load of free. Take a load off panic. Put the load right on me.
Is that John Mellencamp?
I don't know.
That was terrible. That was effing horrendous.
That wasn't that bad. I mean, first off, you're disrespecting all the backup singers and other vocals.
They were fine.
Who I thought sounded pretty good.
What did you think about Jim Irsay's voice?
I couldn't tell. There's so many other people singing. I'll be honest with you. It sounded pretty good. Like,
have you
ever listened to like the people? Like, I remember when I was young, you know, you're in church, like, I have to go to choir. And so I go to choir and I remember like, oh God, I hope they don't call me to like sing anything like solo because I don't have a good voice. But then you always felt more confident when you're with everyone else because together it sounds good. Like you listen back, you're like, oh man, we sound pretty good together. But individually, not so much. That's kind of the Jim Irsay collection, the Jim Irsay band.
I'm not going to disagree at all. I mean, look, let's see if we can, see if Billy can toss this photo. I just took a screen grab. I had accidentally paused it. It's just like, I don't want to say it looks like he's crooning. Do you need to go, by the way?
No, I'm good.
Okay. I don't know if you had Pete thing.
No, I do it before now because the whole spotlight thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Spotlight. By the way, if you check out, you can see us on television, by the way. CBS Sports. Look at it. Take a load off, Fanning. I mean, he looks like a cowboy.
Yeah.
I guess if I were like rich and eccentric.
Better band than owner. Okay. That maybe.
If I were a billionaire NFL owner, I'd probably have a band too. People are like, God, Brinson sucks at singing. But I'd wear a cowboy hat. I'd have my shirt unbuttoned.
By the way, going back to that last comment, I mean, they have won Super Bowls.
They've won a Super Bowl.
Well, a Super Bowl.
With Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
I mean, one could say that they botched Peyton Manning's entire career.
True. But they still won one. Like, that's not that bad. I mean, so I think if you're saying the band's better than that, it's like, well, that's actually not that bad.
Yeah.
It's actually a pretty good compliment.
I guess I'm just fed up with Irsay at this point. I mean, like in a way, the way I'm enjoying it, I don't want him to go anywhere. I like everything he delivers for me in terms of content. But like,
I really thought that like when Andrew Luck retired, like in order to pay back, because he left the organization in such a bad spot, like he'd have to make so many appearances at the Jim Irsay band events, like. All of a sudden they pan and there's like Andrew Luck with
like, he's like playing like
a banjo or he's got like a tambourine.
Yeah.
We're not making him pay any money back. He has to keep all the money, but he's got to show up and play, be a part of the band.
Yeah. So like he has to show up and when they cover Lucky Man by Emerson, Lake and Palmer, like he has to show up and like sing the backups for Lucky Man. Now I'm really showing my age. Yeah. Anyway, that's Jim Irsay.
Is this any part of the interview process when they're doing their coaching search? Is it like,
but now I wonder,
Jim's got band practice. You got to go by and check him out. Talk to him there.
Can't you see like Frank Reich? Frank Reich would have actually, it might not be Carson Wentz that got Frank Reich fired. It's possible. Cause I think Frank Reich plays guitar too. I don't know why I think that.
You think he showed up Jim Irsay?
No, I think he like maybe like accidentally left the speakerphone on one day or like left the like an open mic and was like,
and he's just like slapping the bass
guitar in that asshole's band. Like, cause you couldn't pay me enough money to play with that clown. And Irsay heard it and he's like, I'm gonna fire Frank somehow. I gotta just figure out some kind of way to get rid of this guy. Yeah.
Huh.
Now I need to Google.
It's an interesting theory.
It really is. Yeah. I'm not sure that this theory holds up weight. Actually, you know what? It pops up a bunch of German bands. If you Google Frank Reich and guitar. So maybe we should go in a different
direction. Most likely here. All the German models that you've been following that are part of work.
Well, that's work stuff. By the way, John Cougar Mellencamp. Man, he's old.
Where's he from?
Seymour, Indiana.
Boo.
Booyah. Hey, Billy, can you name one John Cougar Mellencamp song?
I don't think I can.
I have no clue who that is.
You don't know who John Mellencamp is? Seriously?
Whoa. You do not leave off Cougar. All right.
He left off Cougar now. He got rid of it. I'm serious. He's now just John J. Mellencamp, previously known as Johnny Cougar, John Cougar, and John Cougar Mellencamp. Are you Googling it? Don't Google and cheat now.
I'm not. I forgot I had a call. I need to be on. But okay.
Name
one song. How long ago did he drop it?
I don't know. Name one song you can go.
I can't name any. I honestly can't think of any right now.
What? Where were you born? Was it a big
Columbus,
city?
Ohio?
Was it a big city or was it a
small town?
Ah, there we go.
Oh, I was born in a small town. That's him,
ladies and gentlemen.
Is that his? I was born in a small town.
His famous song.
Oh. What? Okay,
Jack,
okay, here, you have to understand this. I get Rain some of the guys through that era like mixed up between John Cougar Mellencamp, like The Boss, Bruce Springsteen, like all these guys. They're all kind of like the songs kind of blend together.
It hurts so good.
That's right. Great boat music, by the way.
Yeah.
Billy knows hurts like hurts. It hurts so good, but yeah. It hurts. Yeah, it's it. That's the chorus. Yes. All right. So there we go. Billy knows the song.
It's so good.
Anyway,
come on, baby. I think that actually is meaning something else. I don't know that now. That I hear about that.
Oh no.
Oh.
Well, we went just full circle, right?
All right. Yep.
All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Brady Quinn's got stuff to do. I guess I'm going to work too. For Brady and Brinson, we'll see you guys later.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.